It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Great recipe. My husband couldn't believe it was eggplant. We'll be making again.
I usually don't leave comments, but wow! My family loved this recipe. No leftovers. You know what that means. I'll be cooking dinner tomorrow night, too.
My kids ate this up, but it was too salty for me. I don't eat the salt because I get so thirsty. Next time I'll halve the salt. Good recipe, but just not the salt, though.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Hey, yo. And last but not least, over yonder making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Hit that like button and subscribe. Comment away. Go get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. We dropped a new No Dunks Nuggets mug to celebrate Denver's first ever trip to the NBA Finals. And catch this, 23% off Breaking Tee's entire Denver basketball collection. Just use the promo code ND23. That's going to last for today.
Oh.
Yes. A one-day-only flash sale on all the Denver Nuggets gear. Again, the promo code is ND23. Any of the Denver Nuggets merch over at Breaking Tee.
Can't wait to see some nuggets in that mug.
You're going to fill it up.
Somebody will.
Wow.
Interesting. That's a good
idea.
I've
never eaten a nugget out of a mug, and now I want to try it.
I've never eaten a nugget out of any sort of drinking vessel.
Yeah,
I'm looking at that mug you got over there, the Good Morning Sweet World. You can fit a dozen in there, I think.
Stack them up. Yeah, stack them up.
And yeah, then you want to see some coming up the top for sure.
Maybe have a second mug with all the dip in it.
Exactly.
12 ounces of dip.
Yeah. Sorry, I had my mug in my hand. I figured I'd take a drink. All right. Lots to talk about here on today's show. And yeah, congratulations to the Denver Nuggets and all their fans. They go to their first NBA Finals. Jokic leading them past the Lakers. 113-111. Another close game. But in the end, Denver gets the sweep. Tass, where do you want to start, man?
Well, a pretty fitting ending with Nikola Jokic hitting the game-winning shot. And then the guy that the Lakers were going at early in the series, it looked like that was the guy they're going to be focusing on in Jamal Murray, makes the defensive strip on LeBron James as he tried to go in for the game-tying shot there at the end. Mm. So their best two players pulling it out in the end. But we could start at the beginning where it looked like this was going to be the LeBron James show. 31 in the first half. Fantastic stuff going into the second half. Camera was on him as he got the ball to bring it up. Took a big breather. Thought, oh man, I mean, he's going to have another great second half. He's getting ready. But the body just wasn't there in the fourth quarter. Even though he took two consecutive charges on Jokic there, the 4 or 5 minute mark. He had five fouls, Jokic did, on the other side, and they were giving LeBron the ball to line up with Jokic. Mm-hmm. Darvin Ham was setting up the pick and rolls. All right, he's got five fouls. Let's go on. But he obviously didn't have it. The thing I liked about Bron was that he did go down shooting and did take those last two attempts. But it was the other side where Jokic hit that shot with 3 minutes left. The classic, what the hell is going on in this possession? And he hits that three to put him up six. Is there a guy that you'd rather have the ball in his hands? Like in a desperation situation with like 40 arms in front of him? I'm picking him as far as a guy that it looks like there's no chance that the ball is going to go in. Like there's this possession is dead. Anyways, he hits that shot. And then he hits the game winner, which was awesome with 50 seconds left. He's on the sideline and Anthony Davis is all over him. And he just barrels through Anthony Davis, barrels through Dennis Schroeder to get to the rim. So an incredible fight from the Lakers in this one. But yeah, Jokic sealed the deal. So it was pretty damn fitting that even with five fouls, and I thought, oh man, this is terrible, obviously, for the Joker charging into Bron with 6 minutes left for his fourth foul. I thought, just shoot that thing. It's a wide open shot, but he goes and charges in. Then he pushes off the next possession, stays on the game, and hits two incredible shots to win this thing.
Yeah, 30 points, 14 boards, 13 assists for the Joker, including those huge shots down the stretch. The insane three-pointer that looked like a two-pointer because everyone was like, hold on, was he behind the line? Change it to the three. And then you're right, that one at the end where it was the game-winning basket, I mean, they almost missed it felt like on the broadcast after all that had happened there. And then they get it into him and he just barrels to the rim and scores. But what a game. He took control of that game in the third quarter too, Trey, where they're down 15. And then him and Aaron Gordon just went to work on the glass. And he was masterful, Jokic was, in that third quarter to give them the lead. They won the quarter by 20.
Huge quarter.
Yeah.
Huge quarter for the Nuggets. And I mean, just an awesome, awesome performance all the way around. This was a really fun sweep. Like, this was a 4-0 series. Not always entertaining, but only 24 points separated these two teams over the course of four games. You look at the box scores at the end of the series. Anthony Davis, 27 points per game, 14 rebounds, 2.8 blocks per game. LeBron went for 28, almost 10 rebounds, 10 assists. He's basically at a triple-double. Jamal Murray, 32, 6-5, 50-40-90 for the series. And Nikola Jokic clears all of them quite easily, yeah, averaging 28 a game, 14.5 rebounds, 12 assists, 50% from the floor, 47 from three, getting that Oscar Robertson WCF MVP trophy quite clearly. Those were four great performances from the stars in this series, but Jokic was the starriest of stars. He was, especially in the second half last night, and especially down the stretch coming through in the clutch. Like, maybe that's got to be the strategy for how to hit last second shots. Take it from inside the arc, but fade away so hard that the foot you actually launch on is behind the line. That was incredible. The lean back that Jokic had, he must have been almost parallel to the ground. Felt like a dagger, but there was 3 minutes left whatever. There was a lot more game to go on, and then just the patience to get to the hole on that last one and finish at the rim. I had just watched an Instagram clip about 12 ways to score from the corner. That was one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fundamental.
Good take.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It honestly, like, mentally would have been really easy, I thought, for the Nuggets to be like, all right, not our night. Let's pack it in. See you back in Denver for game five, and we'll close it out there. What I mean by that is you have LeBron going Nova in the first half with the 31, first quarter with 21. You're down 15, crowds into it. They're growing. Denver was increasingly frustrated by the officials and the whistle and Malone going nuts. And it would have been, I think a lot of teams would have been like, look, okay, we're up 3-0. This is rough. You know, let's just sort of save our energy a little bit and let's go take care of business, like I said, at home. But instead, you know, they roar back in the third quarter and then with guys in foul trouble still manage to play and have an impact on the game. That's a hell of a win. I mean, like, it's not like the Lakers rolled over and died in any of these
games.
Not. They had to win this series and win game four and are, of course, the favorites no matter who they play in the NBA Finals, and rightfully so.
You're right. The Nuggets don't die. Yeah. It was surprising, even in our group chat. The guy who always calls the game early when there's a double-digit lead for one team said, oh, the other team's going to come back. Said the Nuggets
it's
are going to come back.
Nailed it.
Yeah, totally right.
That was a first half Grisham. It's over for the other team. And it came through.
And he called it.
That's a first for everything.
Well, it is shocking that the Nuggets and Lakers did have four really tight games, as you said. And a very entertaining sweep, and it was clear that the Nuggets just weren't going to die. What died was the Lakers' three-point shooting in the second half. They started hot, 6 of 10 in the first half, then only hit one in the second half. And the Nuggets just stay hot, baby. And a great sign for them going into the NBA Finals is that Aaron Gordon, the guy who was the coldest shooter of all of them, who was reluctant to shoot, now feeling good, hitting three threes in this shot. So they have four starters with three threes. That is humongous. So everybody is feeling good shooting the ball. Everybody. And that's the scary part of this team. Just going forward, There's no weak link.
Right.
They're just so hot.
Aaron Gordon, yeah, his best game of the series last night. 22 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, the 2 blocks. He actually got credited with the block at the end of the game, though I thought really it was Murray the one bottling
like
him up.
Wrapped him up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. That's what it showed in the box score. But, yeah, he was amazing. I mean, getting into it with LeBron James, Aaron Gordon, we're talking about, you know, he was like sort of pinning his arm. LeBron was pissed off. Like, you know, wasn't afraid of the moment and had his best game, like I said. He was huge. And
did he speed up his shot a little bit? Because I know he was reluctant earlier in the series. It looked like he was going a little faster. There was a little hitch in it. It looked just different from the old Aaron Gordon. But anyway, it's going down.
And he was doing his great job, which he always does, of like finding space around the rim. And you're playing with the greatest passer in the game, and Jokic, he's going to find you. That one where he slipped the switch late in the fourth quarter, and Jokic just threw a gorgeous pass inside to him. He did a fine enough job at the line. I know he split a pair pretty late, but yeah, that was his best game. And then Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, holy crap, this guy, I think it was BetMGM tweeting just a photo of "I'm Vengeance" from the Batman series, because that's what KCP is with the Lakers right now. He like 13 points. He had that little stretch where he scored 7 straight when the Lakers started this game on fire. You know, LeBron was attacking, getting inside, KCP bangs a 3, then he bangs another 3, and the foul hit the free throw. Yeah, 13 overall. And I loved him at the end. I think it gets overlooked in this game because you get into the LeBron shots and misses and all that. But like that one where LeBron was forced with the shot clock like at 3.5 seconds in the corner, that happened because of KCP tipping the ball and deflecting the ball out of bounds as it was trying to get swung around, I believe, to Reeves in the corner. And then the Lakers had, you know, like I said, like 3 seconds to do something, and it was a tough shot from LeBron. But that was KCP. And if you see him after he tips that, he turns around and he is screaming at the Nuggets, like, let's go. He sensed it. We can get this stop. I thought him and Bruce Brown and Aaron Gordon, these guys, like, we've gone through it all series long. Everybody has contributed in whatever minutes they get.
That was awesome. It was that was a championship-level win from the Nuggets last night. Their starters, every starter played 40 minutes. Bruce Brown got 20 minutes and Jeff Green got 10 minutes. Basically the same for the Lakers as well. Everybody knew this was the last game of the series. We're going to go all out to try and win it. KCP was incredible this series. 15 points per game, 48 from the field, 44 from three. There were multiple quarters where he was the guy kind of bailing the Nuggets out. Maybe it was Vengeance. I don't know. I haven't watched a single one of those Batman movies. Keaton's the only Batman for me as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he's in the next one, isn't he?
I know. Now I got to go see The Flash because I liked a movie 30 years ago. It was ridiculous. But nonetheless, KCP was great. Michael Porter Jr. was awesome. 10 rebounds last night. The guy has figured out how to be 6'10" out there is kind of what it comes down to. There were not a lot of substitutions and players coming in and out of the game last night because that was some playoff basketball. Great, great stuff for the Nuggets to pull it out, especially after, like you're saying, after those 2 charges on Jokic, he's got 5 fouls. You're like, this is the turning point in the game. And it was not.
And
he
even did the slick move where, like, he let LeBron get a layup at one point. Jokic did because he's like, you know, I reach in here. I'm probably getting my 6th foul out of this game. I'll give up the 2 points and we'll go from there. Smart move.
And he had some hilarious moments on the perimeter guarding LeBron at the end because I felt like LeBron's just going to go by him 5 fouls. And Jokic was going to allow him, but the help came, and Jokic also he just played jazz hands. Like, he literally was just doing this on one possession, just shaking his hands as I'm doing a little jazz hands to just you know, I'm not going to try and stop you.
Right.
We know the plan. We're just going to go
a little.
Defense for offense. You know, he's a funny guy. He shakes his ass during jump balls. We know that famous clip that got Bill Kennedy laughing. He's still a jokester. Jokic the jokester at the end of the game. But yeah, his teammates, you can't say enough about those dudes. I know we talked about KCP, 20-plus point game. And then the only slow game he had was an 8-point game when he was in foul trouble in the series I'm talking about. And I thought his vocal leadership, you talk about him talking. He got Michael Porter Jr. going in that game. All these guys don't stop talking. That's a championship team. They're just ready. You hear Michael Malone screaming at everybody. He's lost his voice. He's got a week to get his voice back, but he loves yelling at people. And like he's an old school guy, and you could literally see him saying "F you." Without the acronym there to the referee for that tech foul. Like, really, really.
I thought he was going to get himself tossed.
It was close.
For a second. And I was like, what do I got to lose here? Maybe this will inspire the guys. But
they got the fight. They just have the fight, all of them.
We did see Tristan Thompson in this game.
Honestly, my first note about the game, Tristan Thompson did good. What? Like, I went to bed last night, woke up this morning, very first thing, Tristan Thompson. Unbelievable stuff. He contributed. Mm-hmm. They did give him a post-up in the second half of an elimination game. That was weird.
Yep.
But he was looking like Wilt Chamberlain out there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Mark Jackson and Van Gundy were trying to convince us he was Wilt Chamberlain. Okay, let's slow down a bit.
That was a nice dunk, though.
Yeah.
That great feed from LeBron.
Yep.
Tristan Thompson's not done.
Yeah. At the start of the fourth quarter, you're right. He had that big dunk, got fouled on it. He missed the free throw. And then on the other end, he sort of blocked or at least changed the shot of Aaron Gordon right underneath the rim. They went the other way. I think LeBron got fouled. I think he split his free throws there, too. Thompson had the walk-off interview because LeBron left with 4 seconds to go in the first half at halftime.
I didn't even realize.
LeBron left 4 seconds ago. He's going back to the locker room to whatever, get his IV or whatever the heck he's doing back there. And Tristan Thompson said, "Our backs are against the wall. This is when we get great players to step up to the plate. He's the head of the snake. This is why he makes the big bucks." His halftime interview was about LeBron. All the questions. Yeah. Guy's got 31 and a half. He's never done this before.
Yeah, so, well, Lisa Salters was ready to interview LeBron James.
Of course.
And then he's got. I heard Rashad McCann say, "Where's he going? He's going to the locker room? Oh, he's probably going to get his new legs, his second set of legs." You know, he's got some an additional legs. Unfortunately, the legs weren't there in the second half. But yeah, TT coming through.
Yeah,
he had hops. There's a rumor. We all know that he was on the ESPN set. He was doing TV a month ago.
Right. Yes.
Right.
There's a rumor that he was using jump soles, jumping around the ESPN set, and that's why he still got hops. I mean, I thought he got up.
I know.
more than
guess he hasn't barely played
he
it.
He should
all.
Have the freshest legs.
Yeah.
In the
I guess so, yeah. He had one super jump, and you know he's going to talk trash when he gets a dunk. He did some trash talking.
And Ham did what we thought he might do in terms of the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Going Schroeder, going Rui. I mean,
it worked.
Looked like it was the right call. I mean, it got off to a great start. I mean, a lot of this was LeBron just decided, I'm going to live in the paint, touch paint, either score, get to line, or kick out. And he had the three-pointer going. His three-pointer was back so much that he was throwing in alley-oop passes. That was crazy. I don't know, what was wilder, Jokic's shot at the end or LeBron trying to throw an alley-oop pass that just straight up went in? But yeah, he just, not surprisingly, ran out of steam as the second half went on. I know he was trying to find his wind and all that, but he had a quiet second half, and he had two chances to tie this thing up. That one in the corner, like I said, which was he missed badly. I think it went off the side of the backboard, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Then the one at the end, 4 seconds to go, where they call up the play, and he attacked. And great job by the Nuggets to swallow him up, and he couldn't really even get the shot up on the rim.
Were it not LeBron James's 20th season and he's 38 years old coming off a foot injury, people would be looking sideways at LeBron for his fourth quarter performance in this series.
Yeah,
had a couple of shots that could have tied or won the game for the Lakers tonight. Took that weird three at the end of game one just to pull up for basically no reason when he'd been roasting Jamal Murray. He got outplayed in the fourth quarter, sometimes by Murray and sometimes by Jokic, and that's part of why this series ended up a sweep rather than the Lakers actually stealing a game or two, but he also carried the team for 47 minutes basically every single night except for game one. So you live with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to LeBron and his post-game press conference there and whether or not he's considering retirement in a second.
I did misspeak on something.
Yeah, you said it, the Oscar Robertson MVP trophy.
Yeah,
the
Nuggets get the Oscar Robertson trophy for winning the Western Conference Finals.
Jokic got the Magic Johnson trophy. Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Way to correct yourself.
Yeah, I got names now.
And that's why Lisa Salter said the aptly MVP trophy, the aptly named MVP trophy, the Magic Johnson trophy, because Jokic is a triple-double master.
That's right.
Makes sense. What was that? His eighth?
Eighth triple-double of the playoffs. I think Statitude said that only Jokic, Jason Kidd, and Magic Johnson are the only people to ever average a triple-double in a conference final series. So he did that. Rightfully wins it. Like you said, the Nuggets winning the West is the Oscar.
They won an Oscar last night.
They did. They won an Oscar. I have two fashion questions for you, Trey. The first one, I think we have a photo. What do you think about the conference champion, trucker hats?
That's a big patch.
Big old patch.
Oh, right.
Big old patch, big old hat.
And then the shirts, like, got a baseball vibe to me.
I like the shirts.
Yeah.
And I like the hats, but the hats to me, similar to when they did dad hats. I think it was after Kevin Durant's first title with the Warriors, and they switched like a dad hat look. It's like cool hat, but it doesn't look like your championship hat. It doesn't look like your finals hat. But I can see these being very popular in Denver.
Okay. And then, again, we don't have a photo of this next thing. Jamal Murray's brown shoes. That's a look.
He's worn them.
Yeah.
He wore them earlier in the playoffs. He had an incredible... I think it was the game where he hit like that backwards layup over the top of his head. You never forget a pair of all brown shoes. I don't know. New Balance, they're reintroducing themselves to the basketball world. They make great off-court shoes, no doubt about it. And there's a lot of brown in a New Balance off-court shoes. So I guess they're trying to take the woods to the hardwood. Your results may vary.
Yeah. Any other notes on the actual game before we pivot?
Yeah, one last LeBron. Note I have. The only thing that didn't come up was Nikola Jokic got fouled by Rui Hachimura. Just hitting him right on the nose.
He booped him.
Little boop right there.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that is a three-shot foul for Rui, and that was actually kind of a big play, the old boopster.
Yeah. Anthony Davis also fouled Jamal Murray on a three-point attempt.
Yeah,
that was not a good one either. So some mental lapses there from the Lakers. So the Nuggets have yet to trail in any series. They're 8-0 at home in the playoffs. They're 12-3 overall this postseason run. Did they not lose in overtime in the first round?
Yeah, they lost to the Timberwolves. Jokic went to the line down one with two free throws. He went 1-for-2, and that's how they got to overtime.
So they lose that game, which is basically we're getting at it like a toss-up there that they should have maybe won. And then the two losses to the Suns, where it took incredible performances, mainly from Devin Booker, but also Kevin Durant at home. That's it right now, 12-3.
So what you're saying is they're winning this thing.
I'm not betting against them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to see what probably Jimmy and the Heat could do.
Of course.
But you know what's going to be fascinating, though? The Nuggets, all playoffs at least, have this no one respects us attitude. You know, Malone has leaned into this. Big part of it, playing the Lakers in the conference finals. You're playing LeBron James. You know, him going to a million conference finals, him playing in a lot of finals. But now it's really no longer true. Okay, that's done. People respect you. Everybody knows you're awesome. You're not underrated. You're not really underappreciated, I don't think, anymore. You're not going to be the underdogs.
People have all learned who Jokic is.
It'll be interesting to see whether Malone tries to still run with that narrative and the team does, or do you have to pivot now with your coaching bulletin board material? Because if it's the Heat, I'm sorry, you're just not going to be. You're not going to be overlooked or the dogs or anything. And it's worked for them. Don't get me wrong.
Especially because the Heat have been overlooked.
Yeah, they're going to be the underdogs.
But I don't know. The Heat, so far they've beaten the two teams. Well, almost beaten the two teams in the NBA with the best records. So far, Philly was the third best record. They are already out. But Denver next up. But it's different to go from nobody believed in us to everybody believed in us. I don't remember ESPN doing a whole bunch of segments about if the Heat could beat the Nuggets. They did it all the time for the Lakers after the trade deadline, and the answer from Kendrick Perkins was always yes. Zach Lowe was sticking up for the Nuggets, but maybe they're deep in the archives somewhere, but I doubt it. I doubt people were looking at the 7th and 8th seeded Heat saying, oh, I bet they'll be making a run to the finals here. How do they match up against a team that's never made it?
Yeah, probably unlikely. All right, let's talk LeBron here. He ended his post-game news conference last night by telling reporters, quote, going forward with the game of basketball, I've got a lot to think about. Everybody was like, what? Hey, what? Following the news conference, Dave McMenamin of ESPN, he asked LeBron, hey, can you elaborate on that somewhat cryptic statement at the end? This was the exchange from Dave. Dave, when you say you got to think about stuff, what thread should we be pulling on that? And LeBron says, if I want to continue to play. As in next year? LeBron? Yeah. Dave, you would walk away? LeBron? I got to think about it. So this obviously has everyone going, oh, is LeBron retiring? Or what is LeBron doing here? What's the move? What do you think, TK, after hearing LeBron's comments here last night?
I think he's frustrated with being swept out of the playoffs
for
the second time in his career. He's airing his thoughts, but I also think he could use Tass Mellis or Jermichael Green here to put a big old cap on his head. Because there ain't no way LeBron James is retiring without a retirement tour for an entire season.
Right.
Also, his son is coming into the NBA. in basically a year. Maybe LeBron takes a year off. I've heard people suggesting that. That being said, this is no doubt the most mortal LeBron has looked in his NBA career. He's missed significant time in four of his five Lakers season. Only the bubble season. He didn't really miss a huge chunk of time. There was 4 months off during that season. There's that clip of J.J. Redick going around talking about why he decided to call it quits in the NBA. Basically because he thought his off seasons were a lot harder than the NBA season, getting ready for the stress of it. That probably is even more so the case with LeBron. We know he spends, what, $1 million a year on his body. He's the oldest player who's doing stuff in the league right now. So it's got to be quite the strain to be looking at a summer saying, I got to rehab from this foot injury, and I got to get ready to go and be the best guy on the court again in just a couple of months. But he's going to be back on the court again in a couple of months trying to be the best guy. I do not believe LeBron is retiring just out of nowhere.
Tess?
He is not retiring. Okay. I don't think there's any chance. It's a great point about his offseason, though. That's what old players always say. Dirk always said, just having to do everything pregame, everything in the training room, all that stuff is just a pain in the ass. He went his entire press conference yesterday not talking about it at all. Basically telling people he wasn't going to mention it, and then right at the end gave us a little tease. It's an El Tizo, just to basically get us talking, I think, to say, basketball-wise, I have to think about it. I just think it's very, very unlikely. He's obviously accomplished everything. He's the number one scorer. He could, but he's so close to Bronny coming. That's probably his biggest motivation, and another slight motivation, keep Rui around, keep Austin Reaves around, and get somebody else.
Get
one more guard. They were pretty close to being, I mean, the Nuggets were the best team, obviously, but they got to a Western Conference final. They need somebody who can score from the perimeter. That's what they want.
So, yeah, there are a couple ways to look at this in these comments. One, it's just classic LeBron. You know, controlling the narrative, having all the headlines, less talking about being swept in the conference finals, and now suddenly like, oh, is that it for LeBron? And we're all just wondering that for a week. There's that. There's also, you said it, Tass, he's notorious just for applying pressure on his front offices through the media, sometimes through social media, to upgrade rosters, to stay aggressive, to like, hey, look at what I just did in the first half and still did at times, and you go get these guys, you go re-sign these guys. Who knows whether or not it includes, hey, go get my buddy Kyrie and all that. So there's that. But then the other working theory is, and it's a fun one, I have to admit, could LeBron retire, and I throw that in air quotes because, hey, coming up in, what, a couple days? He said he's going to find out whether he's got to get surgery on this foot. He's going to have the MRI, he said, see how the tendon either healed or didn't heal, and he's going to go from there. So could he retire in the sense like, I'm done to get surgery on my foot, to take care of that, to rest, whatever you want to call it. Take the year off, and if he actually retired, he could forego his money with the Lakers. He could just go watch Bronny play college hoops for a year, and then Bronny, after one and done, gets drafted by some team, who knows where.
San Antonio Spurs.
And then LeBron goes, oh, yeah, well, I'm back. I'm back to play with him. And could hypothetically then go anywhere and have his farewell tour with his son.
Yeah, Vic, Bronny, LeBron, and Pop. I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
So
love
you think
it.
This is honestly that working theory, potentially, he could be like...
No, the greatest players of all time, they never retire and come back. Never happens. Right? I mean,
can't think of one. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't think of anything like that happening. Of course, it's a possibility. I think LeBron will be on the court next season.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick of all the options, I think we find out something is, of course, wrong with this foot, and he does address it with whatever surgery or whatever he has to do. So he misses a massive chunk of time next year, a huge amount of time. So he sort of almost takes the year off to rest up. He still gets paid by the Lakers. Whatever it is, $47 million, I think it is. So there is that. And then he has a player option for the year after that, which he could then say, you know, it all depends on the Bronny Jr. situation of where he's going. And is there any potential for him to be on the Lakers, Bronny Jr., or is it another team? He could basically pick and choose then at that point. Because then it will be this weird thing where a team will be drafting Bronny Jr., but also in a weird way drafting LeBron to come play for them. That's fascinating.
they would be the most famous team instantly. Oh. They would be the biggest team in the league.
Let's hear what people think.
I like this at the very end of the ESPN story. Asked by ESPN if LeBron believed a full summer of rehab could get him back to being the player he was before his foot injury, James nodded. Why? Because I'm still better than 90% of the NBA, he said. Maybe 95.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
LeBron doesn't even put himself number one anymore. That's kind of surprising to me, actually. But, I mean, being better than 95% of the NBA is pretty good.
That's true.
Still yeah. pretty good on one foot.
Yeah, we're talking about a game where he almost played 48 minutes and scored 40 points. It's pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. And he was legitimately hurt at the end of this game, too, when he got picked up something on his shin. He was hobbling around. This wasn't my foot injury from a month ago. This was him getting hurt and hobbling around as well. So he was hobbling to the finish line, getting there in the end. And I guess he knows, when he can't take it every single possession to the hoop, he knows that he is slightly mortal. But he's going to go out on his own terms. I wonder if there's part of him that also thinks, I want Bronny to be his own man and maybe not even play with him on the same team. Maybe to see him do his own thing. Maybe not take all the headlines.
That would be one maybe hell of a swerve.
Maybe to be like Melo and Kai, where Melo's saying, you are my legacy, and to get out of his way a little bit.
The difference there, though, is Melo is not in the league and
yeah,
not
I'm
scoring
aware.
40 in a elimination game still.
I'm aware, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He would be taking. I don't know, it'd be nice, give him a lot of advice in the locker room and all that. That'd be pretty cool.
The other way to look at this, I heard Team Holt say it, could be some truth to it, is, you know, after I'm done running a marathon, if you were to put a microphone in my face and say, hey, you ready for your next marathon? I'd say, I'm never running again. Fuck that.
Yeah, but
that
he
was
answered,
horrible.
But he answered every question and said, I'm not talking about next year. I'm not talking about next year. I'm not talking about
and
next year. I'm not talking
said
about
it. Yeah.
Right at the end.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing
of
with
course
his, the last words. Oh, yeah, this is my last question. Let me get this in before I move on here just to give you a taste. And then he moved on.
You think Michael Malone's upset? This is the big story coming out of the Nuggets sweeping the Lakers out of the playoffs, beating the Lakers for the first time ever in their history, going to the finals for the first time ever in their history. And the story is this guy going to come back and everybody thinks he is?
It's good bulletin board material.
No doubt it is. No doubt it is.
The Nuggets are going to take
this guy said he's retiring on you. Let's go win the finals.
Michael Malone turned his hat to the side a little bit when he gave that little speech at the end and said, Bron, coming for you. F that.
No, I don't think he's that upset because we have like 100 days until the NBA Finals.
That's a great
point.
So
it's like, you know, Adam Silver's loving this. Like, God, thanks, Bron. Appreciate that little carrot you dangled out there for everyone. We can talk about this for, you know, probably a good 4 or 5 days. And then we'll start getting back into the swing of the NBA Finals and probably the Nuggets versus the Heat. All right, well, let's hear everybody's theory on what LeBron was doing there at the end of that post-game press conference. And what's he going to do, obviously, next season? Is he going to play? Is he going to not? The whole Bronny Jr. situation. You tell us. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Carmelo Anthony. Don't go anywhere. All right, still here in the Classic Factory. If you're joining us live on YouTube, we'd love to see it. Make sure you hit that like button. And make sure you subscribed. This news broke yesterday, right before the show, and we promised that we'd talk about it in greater detail on today's pod. So here we are, Carmelo Anthony officially retired from the NBA on Monday, the number 3 pick in the 2003 NBA draft. Spent 19 seasons in the league, last played in an NBA game last season as a member of the Lakers. Retires as the number 9 scorer in league history. Only LeBron, Kareem, Karl Malone, Kobe, Jordan, Dirk, Wilt, and Shaq scored more than the Melo Man, who finished with 28,289 points. His legacy long secure. You know, he was named to the 75 greatest players in NBA history list, 10-time All-Star, scoring champ, 6-time All-NBA selection, won a championship title back with Syracuse, and 3 Olympic gold medals, too, in 2008, 2012, and 2016. So, what a career. Finally hanging it up. How will Melo be remembered to you guys? What will be one of the first things that like pops in your mind when you're thinking Melo, besides the hats?
The hats will be high on the list, but every once in a while you see a tweet go around during the summertime usually. People forget this guy was a bucket.
Mm. Yeah, right.
No one will ever forget that Carmelo Anthony was a bucket.
That's a good call.
You talk about having a deep bag. One of the deepest Melo had, so that's how I remember him, as a walking bucket. kind of operating out of the mid post on either side, left or right, just a whole bunch of jab steps, pump fakes, fadeaways, bully ball. There have been numerous clips going around of players from Melo's generation talking about the hardest guys to guard when they were playing, and Melo always comes up because of how physical he was and just like how much of a brute he was using his force to get to the hoop. And for a guy who had really quick footwork and a nice jumper, man, he was a strong, strong player. So that's what I'll remember about Melo, like able to score on anybody. When you're looking at the greatest players of his generation, there's probably an S tier that he's not quite making, but he's in an S tier for cool players, and he's in the A tier for performance on the court. He wanted to go to the Knicks when nobody wanted to go to the Knicks. He went there. They were better than they had been in a couple of decades. So yeah, he's a Knicks legend to me. So shout out to Melo.
A bucket, obviously, the first and foremost, and retired a top 10 scorer is something else I'll remember, because that sort of sneaked up as he was doing it in his latter years. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what won't make the accolades but should be recognized is that he reinvented himself at the end of his career when we all thought, nah, that ain't going to happen. It sure didn't seem that way when he was with OKC in 2017 and he said, me, come off the bench? Ha, 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 ha. And then he went to Houston and they released him and it sure felt like it was over. And then he got three more years after that. So I will definitely remember that this guy who was a number one guy throughout his Nuggets and Knicks tenures decided, I want to extend my career. And that must have been difficult for him. And it is difficult for a lot of players, as we've seen. But it's become more of a trend, him and his former OKC teammate Westbrook doing that. So I'll remember a bunch of those things. I mean, a lot of stuff from the Nuggets years and the Knicks years, which the jersey retirement question is a great one, I think, with the Knicks.
With the Knicks.
Yeah.
More likely than Denver, the way sort of more that ended. More likely. Jokic wearing number 15, I guess, now too.
I think the Knicks situation is the fact that they stunk for so long. And the way that it's all about the way a fan base sees a player. And I think from 2000 to 2010, before he got there, they stunk. He got there, they were relevant, even if they didn't win a lot. And then he left and they were bad. And so they embraced him. He really, really embraced them. And I do see that, even if it's a pretty exclusive club, especially because they haven't won a lot in their history. I think he'll get there. I think he'll probably get both. Even though it was just 6+ years with the Knicks and 7+ with the Nuggets, I could see both.
Well, like Denver, similar to the Knicks, before Melo showed up, they were bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they were never in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
He shows up, they're suddenly in the playoffs every year. They go to the conference finals the one year. Now it ended poorly in the sense that, like, yeah, he left. He didn't want to be there. He wanted to be in New York. Some of that was family related reasons. The payday, obviously, just to play in Madison Square Garden. There's that. I think I'll remember Melo. This is going to sound weird, but like as the ultimate winner that never won an NBA ring, of course. He came up short in that regard. You know, didn't even go to the finals, but an ultimate winner because he won everywhere else. Obviously, his lone year at Syracuse, which is one of the most iconic like college seasons for a freshman ever. So he does that, and then he wins all these Olympic gold medals too, and you can be like, well, who cares? Like, you know, you're on these dream team-like teams, you should win. But he was, like, generally, like, one of the best players on those teams. You also got, like, a different Melo on those Olympic squads where, like, he was, like, more focused on playing defense. That game, that style suited him in terms of course, just scoring and getting his shots. And I saw Sam Quinn say this. I didn't know this. I'll just make it a trivia question for you guys from CBS Sports. The NBA started sending players to the Olympics in 92. Since then, only 3 players have won a gold medal and an NCAA championship without having won an NBA title. So it's Melo and 2 other guys won a championship title and a gold medal. Can you name them? And didn't win, obviously, in the NBA. Mm-hmm. They're iconic players.
Grant. Patrick Ewing.
Nice pull.
Grant.
Look at you guys. Bang! 1-2. Patrick Ewing created the club in 1992. Grant Hill joined it in 96, and Melo completed the trio in winning a bunch of gold medals, as I said, in 08, 12, and 16. Yeah, just wild. So one on every level, and unfortunately not the NBA one, which matters. You know, he falls in with your Barclays and your Stocktons and guys like
Ewing.
That.
Ewing is a great comp for Melo, and Ewing got his jersey retired by the Knicks. Now, obviously, Patrick Ewing played 90% of his career with the Knicks. They went really far with him, farther than Melo ever did. But I think definitely he should have his number retired by the Nuggets. Just retire 15 twice. Who cares?
Yeah.
Does not matter to me at all. It's just hanging up there. Now we know nobody's going to wear 15. And for the Knicks, I kind of think they will. He put the Knicks back on the map and made them matter at least a little bit. And the best that the Knicks have been in the past two decades has been with Melo as their star.
Yeah, that's the thing. If they were really, really good between 2000 and 2010 before he got there, then maybe it's different. But they've been so bad for so long. That's something he has going for him in terms of retiring. We're Raptors fans. It's similar to Chris Bosh for an era. He did a lot when he was with the Raptors. He left. And, you know, you look back at his accolades. He was the best player for a long time on that team. Do you want to retire? Yeah. The Knicks, especially because even what's different than Bosh is that Melo went back and embraced the organization. He was just there a few weeks ago. So with that, there's a love fest there.
Yeah. Yep. One more trivia question. Why not? Melo spent the first 13 years of his career playing for the Nuggets and the Knicks. In all that time, he had three all-star teammates. Okay? First 13 years, again, on Denver and New York. Can you name the three all-star teammates that Melo played with?
Made the all-star game when he was on.
Iverson.
Correct.
Tyson Chandler.
Correct. With the Knicks, he averaged 10.4 points per game when he made it.
Did Billups make it?
Look at you guys. Look at this. We guys, this 1-2 game you guys are running right now. This is great.
This is our generation.
I know.
Headband generation.
It's true. You should know it. Billups, Iverson, and Tyson Chandler. The only teammates he had in that very long span there. With a lot of successful seasons, not going far as they would have liked, but always in the playoffs. Sometimes winning series here and there. The one run in 2009, but... Yeah, I think
you go back and watch Melo highlights the way we've been doing, and you see he was a little undermanned a lot of the time compared to like a LeBron team. You know, with the Heat, they had three All-Stars, multiple Hall of Famers, and then Melo's running out there with like young Porzingis, Jose Calderon at the end of his career. Now, a lot of that was because Melo wanted to sign a gigantic deal with the Knicks. Melo also forced a trade to the Knicks from the Nuggets when he could have just signed there. In the postseason, they could have kept all those young guys. Wilson Chandler and
Gallinari.
They could have built a really nice squad, but Melo wanted to be the top dog. It hurt their cap sheet. Maybe that's why they didn't have quite as deep a team as a Heat squad would, but definitely Melo was going into those not as the favorite and not winning.
And one of those future pick swaps, I believe it was, in that Melo Denver trade back in the day ended up being Jamal Murray.
Yep.
How perfectly timed is all of that with him going off in the conference finals, him being that pick in that deal that moved Melo to New York. That's wild. Also, this point from Jeff Stotts, who does a great job at In Street Clothes, he noted that Melo's durability remains one of his most overlooked traits, too. He finished his career on the record here with over 100 injuries or illnesses, including multiple surgeries on his left knee. Is elbow surgery, because you know how they track all this stuff, right? Or he does. But despite all this, like I said, all of these injuries, he had a broken hand, he had a shoulder issue, he's had a million ankle sprains, as you probably do if you're an NBA player, but he only missed 141 games due to injury over a very long career. He ranks top 25 all time in career minutes played. So I thought that was an interesting thought. I don't think of Melo that way. I'm not an Iron Man, but
no, sure.
He played durable. Very durable.
And part of that is his size. This guy was a big ass dude, and I'll always remember him screaming for his rebounds too.
A lot of those clips going around yesterday.
Really good.
Complete nonsense. He's just yelling at his teammates only because he's close to the rim, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just doing it for the bit.
Even in his Blazers days, he was doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that's pretty late. Still wanting those numbers, I guess.
That's good.
But you said injuries and illnesses that he missed.
Yeah.
I consider myself an NBA sicko, but I can't remember a sickness that he missed a game from. I'm going deep.
I don't know, man. I'm sure it's on the list. You don't think he ever had a migraine or a stomach ache?
I believe it.
South Beach flu?
Yeah, that probably.
I didn't realize he was such an Iron Man, though.
A little too much wine. Do you have a favorite Melo moment or game or shot or anything as we wrap this up?
A few stick out to me. The 2009 Western Conference Finals, that was like Melo took it upon himself to be guarding Kobe, him and Kobe going head-to-head against each other. That's one of an early Melo moment I definitely think about. 62 in the Garden. That's pretty awesome. Olympic Melo is big for me as well. I I'm pretty sure when he stopped playing for Team USA, he was the leading scorer in the program. I think it's Kevin Durant now after the 2020 Olympics, but Olympic Melo was definitely a thing. And then there's like random off-court stuff. The hats, of course. For some reason, like his chocolate milk commercial always sticks in my mind. I guess he was a durable player. Chocolate milk works. Saying Carmelo Anthony. Oh, yeah. Very fun. The Melo drop. It was good to have him around.
Tass, you got any other moments?
Well, yeah, you went through good ones. Yeah, the Olympics, part of the Redeem Team with Kobe, that team in Brazil where he was going to the favelas when people were saying don't go to the favelas, that it's dangerous out there. Right. He was just going on his own. I saw Aldridge write about that. Very, very cool stuff in 2016 in Rio. Four times that he went, and so he's leading the U.S. program in games played still. So he is the Olympic Melo was always fun every 4 years to look at a guy who was willing to give the ball up to somebody else and be a different type of player than he was in the NBA because of who he was playing with.
I'll definitely remember the random January game where he goes for 62, setting the Knicks record there against the Charlotte Bobcats, I believe it was in 2014. I think they were the Cats. I remember watching it here in Atlanta in my old apartment. And as that point total ticked up, you know, the techs start going, everybody starts going, you got to check this out. These guys on fire right now. So, you know, that one will live in my memory. But Melo was a bucket, and let's hear yours. I'm sure we're missing a bunch of games, shots, moments. Oh, you didn't bring up the time he hit a couple big shots against the Bulls, right? Didn't he hit
it must have slipped my mind.
Did he hit the game-tying three? And then he hit the game-winning three in overtime. Like, almost from the same spot,
right.
I think it was.
I think you're right. A lot of people saying the three to the head.
Oh, three to the dome, baby!
Melo coming off. Or coming out of the stands, catching a ball and doing the fake shot.
Yep.
Very funny. That it seemed like Melo's career was over at that point. Then he went on to play a few more seasons after that.
All right, some coaching updates, if you want to call it that. Let me throw them at you guys. Reports that the Raptors met with Steve Nash, Tass.
What?
To discuss the coaching job. The Raptors are meeting with every person in the world.
You ever coached?
We want to talk to you.
We want to hear what you got to say.
Have you ever been on TV? Come on over.
What do you think about this? Obviously, Nash let go of the Brooklyn Nets. This season that happened.
Yeah.
Seven games in, I want to say. It was very, very early, but he had a tough hand to deal with there in Brooklyn, no doubt. A little more complicated, I think, than other coaches in their first stint. But do you think there's anything to this, the idea of Steve Nash?
First thing I think of, what is he doing? don't you want to chill out? It's a good job. I'm sure it's a great organization, top to bottom. But he just got let go. Take some R&R time, I would say. A year, perhaps?
You think these athletes, man, they're built different, man.
I know.
They can't turn it off. He can't stop playing soccer.
He can go play soccer.
He can't stop stretching.
Don't play soccer.
No, I can't.
He can't stop stretching.
He can't. He totally does.
He's stretching the whole time during
his interview. I swear to God, my Instagram feed is always popping up some Steve Nash-like product about stretching.
Yeah.
Staying limber.
Okay, he can do other stuff. Head coaching is stressful. You can't even stretch while you're coaching. That's what pickleball was invented for. Old guys to go do something else.
Curveball.
Yeah. Don't
play pickleball.
Steve
play
Nash
pickleball.
Would dominate at pickleball.
He'd be a great player.
He's got that great touch.
He could win it all.
But you don't think this is going to be a realistic coaching candidate?
Why wouldn't it? I think it could be a realistic.
Yeah.
If he wants it.
So you think Steve Nash is a good head coach? Or you just don't? We just don't know at all because, of, again, a very weird situation there. With
that's people. The question. Is Steve Nash a good coach? Yeah. No one knows. It's impossible to know because from the second he got to Brooklyn, they were saying, this guy ain't the coach. Pretty much. So he kind of you need to see him with a non-star team to know if Steve Nash is a good coach. But are you willing to take that risk if it's your team that's the non-star team?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I mean, I guess he was one game away from conference finals in his first season as a head coach.
Fair point.
And then
is he over 500? It's quite possible.
No, he is a good. No, he has a very good record, I think, in terms of regular season performance.
Yeah. All right, this would be his second time. I'm sure he's learned something. Was there something lacking in X's and O's in Brooklyn when he was just basically allowed to say, "Hey, Kevin Durant, go do this. Hey, Kyrie, go do this." Maybe, but we haven't had to see him do that. So he would be a different coach, I think.
Yeah.
In his second stint with a different type of team without the superstars.
We'll see. The Bucks, they have also narrowed their head coaching search down to three names, according to Woj. We've got ex-Toronto coach Nick Nurse, Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, and Raptors assistant Adrian Griffin. Those three coaches will be part of the conversations with the franchise leadership in the coming days. Nurse, Atkinson, and Griffin. It sounds like it's going to be one of those three. Now, Nurse is also tied to the Suns' job and the Sixers' job. So he is the belle of the ball.
He is.
Nick Nurse with his guitar. Who wants to dance with me? Can you dance with someone while they play a guitar?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you gotta dance on them.
You'd have
them.
To, like, behind them.
They're just grooving. Yeah, you could grind behind them like Steven Tyler and Joe Perry.
Yeah, okay.
They figured it out.
Aerosmith is coming to town. Let's go see.
Giannis is going to win MVP if Nick Nurse is the coach. That's
play
my prediction.
Every single minute?
He's going to play a lot more minutes, and the stats will be crazy, and the team will be good because they will be geared towards winning in the regular season. I think that the next Bucks coach should probably be an offense-forward coach, somebody who's got a little bit of creativity on that end, and that fits the bill, whether it's Nurse or Kenny Atkinson. I'm guessing they would choose Nurse ahead of Atkinson just because he's coming off of a head coaching job, but who knows?
But Kenny deserves another chance. He was fantastic with the Brooklyn Nets. And in a team situation where he was getting the most out of role players, I think he would do a good job of getting more out of like the 4, 5, 6, 7 guys on that team. And yeah, he wants this position, I assume, because he turned down the Charlotte position.
Right. He's trying to do the Steve Kerr move where Steve Kerr was going to coach the Knicks. And he was like, maybe I'll go coach the Warriors. That works out well for Steve Kerr. And that's what Kenny's trying to do here with like, he was going to be the Hornets coach.
Yeah,
and he's like, no, I'm going to go back and stick with the Warriors. Maybe a better job will open up. Yep. He's right.
It's possible right here. This is a good time. So I think he would be a great hire. Ken or Nick. What about Adrian? Ken, Nick, and Adrian. I don't think they would go to a rookie head coach in Adrian Griffin, but maybe considering how far he's come along in the process.
Yeah, he's been a steady climber here when talking about head coaching candidates. 4 years on Nurse's staff. He has been with the Raps. He had stops in OKC, Orlando, Chicago, and he started his NBA coaching career as an assistant for?
Oh, come on.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, okay.
Back in 08.
I remember
to 2010.
Year.
Yeah, so I mean, he's got some ties, I guess.
Adrian Griffin?
To the franchise. But he's been a long time assistant coach, and one of these days he's going to get a crack at it. I don't know. I'm with you. I'm not sure it's going to be this Milwaukee team. And really, it's like, where does Nurse want to coach if he has these offers from Phoenix, from Philly, and Milwaukee? Like, where is he going to go? Detroit, we think they're going young. And then, obviously, it leaves the Toronto Raptors, as we talked about, with them talking to everybody. I can't wait. When are you flying up? Do you want to fly up together when we do our interviews with Masai and Bobby? Oh, you're not
No, I'm going separate.
Oh, okay. Are you before me or after me? Hey, put in a good word for me, and I'll put in a good word for you.
Sure. You guys should do it like
if I get the job, you'll be on my staff, and if you get the job, hopefully I'll be on your staff.
You're not going to do it stepbrother style? One of you sits in front, one of you sits in back, and pops your head out to the side?
Okay, I like that idea.
Tuxedos, of course.
All right, we got to take our final break, and when we come back, a couple tweets of the night. Don't go anywhere.
Spring has sprung, and spring is the best time of year to take a look at your fitness routine, dial it up a notch, and continue powering on. Reminds me of that scene in Rocky III when Apollo Creed is training Rocky to face Clubber Lang. Remember that? What does Apollo do? He puts Rocky in the pool. He makes him run on the beach. He makes him dance. Why? To strengthen muscles he never even knew he had. That's me on my Peloton. I'm not just riding it anymore. Sure, I'll jump on a 30-minute ride with the Cadence King, Dennis Morton, but now I'm lifting weights. I'm working on my core, and sometimes I'm doing all of the above in a boot camp. Point is, you can personalize your workout. Whether you add a 10-minute core session at the end of your metrics-focused class or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance, Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. And there's a variety of classes like boxing, boot camps, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you already excel in. And hey, is this new? Work out while you watch with NBA League Pass on Peloton. That's pretty cool. Watch your favorite games and win your workouts with NBA League Pass on Peloton and visit onepeloton.com. Peloton All Access membership and NBA League Pass subscription required.
Hey, we're back. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Couple of Tweets of the Night for you. Both Carmelo Anthony related because he was popping on Twitter last night and all of yesterday. Our first one comes from Dragonfly Jones, who tweets, I can't overstate how big of a moment this was. This was 2013. Celebs weren't getting in the trenches on Twitter like that back then. Melo and Rihanna were the lone Spartans on Twitter, taking on the masses back then. Melo ran so KD could fly. Dragonfly Jones is referencing Carmelo's legendary tweet from December 2013. Somebody tweets about how Melo didn't win a ring. You kill me, man. I've been rooting for you all the time. You always disappoint me. To which Carmelo responds, I didn't ask for your glazed donut face ass to root for me anyway.
So a month later, he scored 62. That was wild.
I bet that guy was cheering.
Yeah, I bet he was.
With that glazed donut face ass. One of the best NBA insults.
That was the best time on Twitter.
Yeah.
Definitely.
When people had to like name themselves the real something.
Yeah.
The real Shaq. Isn't Scott Van Pelt the opposite? Not the real?
Yeah.
SVP.
I feel like Vince Carter was a real Vince Carter.
Yeah, you see a few
Grant
of
Hill?
Them.
Maybe it was Grant Hill.
Yeah, maybe so. Mo Verney, I know he was the real Mo Verney. You do see a few of those remnants, but you had to be on Twitter early to get a the real name.
Yeah. And celebrities, honestly, you know, were doing it differently back then.
Totally.
Absolutely true.
It was a little bit more raw. They took it personally. And Melo had some great one. The donut glazed face. I didn't ask your donut glazed face. And he also, I didn't realize this and seen all those moments when he commented on Kevin Durant's profile pic on Facebook a long time ago. He said, your milk dud head ass, LMFAO. It was a very round face of a profile pic. Your milk dud head ass. It did kind of look like a milk dud. Man, killing it. Melo killed it.
Melo likes an emerging technology. He considered himself a bit of a businessman.
Yeah.
Away from the court. So, you know, he's hopping on Twitter in the early days to talk trash with people. You know, he's going to joke with Kevin Durant on Facebook. He started a Snapchat when he was on Team USA in 2016. He's like, I'm hanging out with all these young kids. I gotta start a Snapchat, which I think is very funny. And as it turns out, Melo has always been able to dish it out just the way he took criticism. Because here's our second tweet of the night. It comes from Fred Katz, our buddy over here at The Athletic. Subscribe at theathletic.com/nodunks. Fred tweeted, when I covered Melo in OKC, I had to write from locker room postgame to get stories in for a 10:30 deadline. So at like 10:27, Melo would come over and heckle me for fun. One time he pointed at the screen and said, that sentence is trash. Also, you gotta type faster than that. I love this.
Oh, that's good.
We hear all the time, how would you like if I came to your job and heckled you?
Yeah,
Melo does it. That sounds awesome.
That sentence sucks, cats.
That sentence is trash.
Oh, that's good. There was also a tweet from Fred Katz about the time he shared a story about Melo trying to convince him Joe DiMaggio was Jewish.
Yes.
They got into it in the locker memories. It was cool to see like a lot of the OKC beat writers or people that cover the team, along with definitely Blazers, people like that just like enjoyed having Melo around those squads at the end of his career. Mm-hmm. For that 1 year in OKC and then a couple years there in Portland. And everyone like just always pointing out how cool he is too. He does feel like one of the coolest players in NBA history. So those are some great tweets there.
That sentence is trash. Imagine one of the 75 greatest NBA players is just watching you type. You got to type faster than that, Fred.
The pressure to get it in.
That's awesome.
You know cats hit that deadline, though.
Oh, of course.
Come on.
Of course. You would never keep people waiting.
No, for sure. All right, great tweets of the night. Let's call it there. Tell us whether or not it was a classic by leaving us a 5-star rating and review if you're a podcast listener, hitting that like button, and subscribing if you're watching on YouTube either live or later. We really do appreciate it. And we should have said, thanks to the Denver Nuggets, I guess also the Lakers in a weird way, no basketball on tomorrow night, which is important because we have 3 hours of Survivor to watch. It's the season finale of Survivor 44. Maybe Jokic, maybe Murray, maybe Malone, maybe they're Survivor fans, and they were like, we gotta wrap this up. We gotta open up the schedule on Wednesday night.
Okay. I'm with you. I agree. I very much appreciate them taking care of business.
Big time. So Jeff does too. There's probes.
Yeah, Jeff is very, very happy. Didn't want to go head to head with the Western Conference Finals. But if I'm ranking Denver Nuggets personnel who are likely Survivor fans, Mike Malone's gotta come in pretty high.
Oh, really? You think so?
He's old. He's been around for the entirety of the run of Survivor.
Yeah.
That's why number two to me would be Jeff Green.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also old. Uncles love Survivor. And then Bruce Brown I would throw in the mix. I don't know why.
I'd like to see Bruce Brown on Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Be a great player.
Great social player.
Okay, well, we have a week off before the Nuggets at least play in the finals. Somebody in Denver start asking all these guys, hey, do you like Survivor? Would you
Adam Morris, it's
yeah,
on you.
Yeah, let's get at it here. All right, do the research. All right, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, with a week off before the finals, probably the NBA is going to have a skills challenge this weekend. Pro Bowl, probably. Why not? What are we waiting for?
You want to play horse?
Let's do a skills
let's
challenge.
Do horse. Right, let's go back to Mike Conley's gym.
Dodgeball. Let's do some
pickleball.
Stuff.
Just do
can't
some
get injured
stuff.
Playing pickleball.
A week of just do some stuff.
Just do some stuff.
Yeah, that's what we'll be doing here on No Dunks. Don't you worry. Don't go anywhere, everybody. Embrace the day.